Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline Diest, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Hi, Kathy. How's it going?
Good, Madeline. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, for an early morning. A little introduction about Kathy. So Kathy is an award-winning crime and thriller writer from New York City. She won the 2015 Derringer for Best Short Story. She's published a three-volume Laurel and Helen New York mystery series. And next year she's got a new series coming out featuring a blackjack player. But her latest book, Bar None, A Murder on the Rocks Mystery, is out now. In fact, it came out 2 weeks ago, so I imagine you're pretty busy at the moment. So thank you for sparing the time to talk with me today, Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Excellent. So how I like to start is a few kind of warm-up questions that I call them. So a bit of jogging on the spot, some, you know, sun salutations, if you like your yoga, just get all limbered up. Some short, sharp questions to get to know you. So, considering you're a crime writer, this might be a question where I expect to know the answer, but people often surprise me. Are you a plotter or a pantser?
I'm a pantser. I just usually get an idea and go with it and change it as I'm working on it, and usually know the beginning, and I usually know where I want it to end, but I never do an outline because things occur to me as I'm writing. And I like to add them in if I can, if it makes sense.
How does that go with your clues and your red herrings and all of that?
I seem to be able to build them in that way. I mean, I go back, I circle back and change things as I'm going if I think I need to add something or, there's something that's not working 100% for me and I want to add an extra clue or an extra red herring as I progress, I'll go back and put it in somewhere.
But you don't have like a spreadsheet where everyone is at every moment?
No, I have a spreadsheet of all the characters, which I think is kind of a good idea for any author. You write the character's name, their function in the story, a description. So in one, chapter, they wouldn't have black hair and the other blonde. So it just keeps you, it's a little bit of a reference tool. So I do that, but I don't write an outline.
Okay. Do you write every day?
No, I don't. I write a lot of days, and the days I'm not writing, I really do think about what I'm writing. I kind of walk around sometimes, or when I'm doing chores or errands, I have in the back of my head what I'm writing that particular time and what I might want to add to it or change.
And it looks as though you've written quite a few short stories, some six very successful ones, and you're writing novels and series, is that even a word? So what's your favourite thing to write?
I really enjoy writing both. I've been working on novels mostly lately. I just finished the sequel to Bar None and turned that in 2 days ago. So now I'm working on two short stories, which I kind of put aside while I was doing Bar None and then the sequel. So I kind of got back to that right now.
Do you think writing the two different lengths helps the other?
Well, they're very different, really. I mean, you have to be so much quicker, I guess, with the short story, more condensed and get your points across and your characters come through a little bit faster. Well, but it's just a different way of writing, I think. I enjoy both of them, really. The short stories seem to be easier, honestly, because, of course, you're in and you're out, kind of. You're not writing it for a year.
I've dabbled in short stories fairly unsuccessfully, but I was amazed by how much time they actually take up, where I think, this should only take a few weeks to do, and I'm still chipping away at it a month later.
Well, it depends, I guess, right? If you want to You know, I guess it depends on every person, how much time you spend on something. Novels, of course, just take much longer.
Mm. Absolutely. Cool. So it sounds like we've got to know you a little bit more. So let's get a bit more in depth about your writing. So how do you describe your writing, and are there any particular themes that you'd like to explore?
Yes. Well, I consider myself a crime writer, and my work is in the mystery suspense genre. My writing is really character-driven. I'm very into doing that, and I think you could see that in all of my work. I like to keep the dialogue as real as possible, and depending on the characters, you know, it can be a little snarky or not. It can be a little more toned. But the themes I've been exploring really in all of my work are things that are happening in the world around us, like real-life situations. You know, there's identity theft, there's fraud, there's violent crime. So that's what I write about. And I write about how these things affect the people in my stories. I find things that interest me, honestly, wherever I go. I look at the newspaper or the news or walking on the street. I eavesdrop sometimes, which gives you interesting bits of things. And I'm actually writing a novel, which I had put aside for a while, about a person who's a serial eavesdropper. So that came to me from doing that. So I think that the themes are there for you to find, depending on what you like personally, what your preferences are. You know, I enjoy reading other crime novelists and mystery and suspense stories, and that's what I like to write as well. So, but I like it to be real. I want people to feel like they really know my characters, and they could say, "Oh, I know that person," or, "Oh, that's a, you know, he's pretty nice," or "He's pretty bad." I want that to come through.
And I know you're heavily involved in the Sisters in Crime community.
Yes.
Why do you think that crime is so popular?
I think people are just drawn to it. You know, it's you're not going to commit crime, but you like to read about it, I think. You know, it's sort of an escape. And I think people, I mean, there's so many crime writers. It's just a really popular, in general, it's the big genre of crime writing. And, of course, then there's all the sub genres. But, I mean, I go to all the conventions, like Malice Domestic and BoucherCon and I don't know if you guys, what you have in Australia, I'm sure you have some. And they're packed with readers and fans who really enjoy this. Some people, met a couple of people who read 4 or 5 books a week. Mm. It's the genre that they read. They like crime fiction.
Mm. And I'm always interested when I go to, Sisters in Crime is an obvious example, but whenever I go to any kind of crime event, I know women generally are the biggest segment of readers generally, but the kind of middle-aged older lady who loves her crime, it's just it always fascinates me.
It's true, because that's who, especially at Malice Domestic, that conference, there are a lot of fans. That's a real fan conference, and as opposed to I'm thinking like of the ITW, the International Thriller Writers Conference. That's more of a writer's conference. And, you know, there are courses for improving your craft and things like that. But the fan conferences are the people that you're just talking about, that a lot of the people that come there are that type of person. Mm. They're a little bit older and they just love it. I don't know why.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, it just fascinates me to think
that they do.
Yeah, that segment of society loves their crime.
They're all, well, that's good, so we can sell more books.
Yeah, they're all secretly Miss Marples.
Yes. You know, that might be, in a way, what you just said might be part of the reason. Like, it's sort of aspirational in a way to be able to solve crime or be like one of those characters and figure things out.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, I hadn't thought before, actually, but that could be.
Yeah, you might be onto something there.
Maybe.
Cool. Okay. So let's get on to the key writing question that I like to ask. Okay. So what do you think is the one thing that's been most helpful in improving your writing?
Actually, I think there are two things that have helped me. One was a course I took, and another was a tip. When I decided to do this full-time, I took a class called How to Overcome Your Fear of Writing Your Novel. It wasn't for mystery writing or crime writing in particular. It was just general. And because it was so interesting and I had to do an assignment every week and turn it in and get feedback, it really encouraged me to go on. I thought it was a great way to really kind of get yourself going. So I recommend a class. I've taken another one with Allison Galen at the Center for Fiction, and it's just really good. Even if you've been writing a long time, it's good to do that. You know, you kind of reconnect with other people and what they're doing and your peers, how they can help you and look at your work. Mm. And the other was a tip from Sue Grafton, actually. Mm. I was at my very first panel ever at the Malice Domestic Convention, and I was on the panel with Sue.
Wow.
So I was terrified, just terrified, because, of course, there were tons of people who came to see her. And she was amazingly interesting, and she said a lot of good things. But one thing she said that I really took to heart was that my characters can only know what I know. So when I write, I think about that. I think if I want this character to be on this restaurant and bar, I need to know about that. I need to get it right. I don't want it to be like kind of fudged. I want to have all the real details in. I want them to speak the right way and know about what's in the neighborhood and things like that. So that stuck with me. That helped me a lot too.
So has that sent you into the world of blackjack and owning bars?
Well, I just like those things too. Actually, my husband was in the restaurant business for a long time, and that's the inspiration for Bar None. So he generally worked near where we live, so I would go visit him, and I got to know everybody at the restaurant. You know, the manager, the cooks, the waiters, the waitresses, the bartenders, the customers, who were, some of them were a little strange. And I always thought it would be fun to write a bar book. So that's kind of where Bar None came from. Of course, I made the owner a woman. Mm. And her bar is downtown in a different neighborhood than my neighborhood. But that's basically where that inspiration came from.
So just going back to what you were talking about the course, about overcoming your fear of writing a novel. So what kind of tips did they provide you with in order to overcome your fear?
Well, we just did it. I mean, you just went and you wrote. We had, I don't think we even had prompts. I think we all had a couple. I think everybody had an idea that they wanted to try. So we would write a chapter and then share it with the class and our teacher, and they would critique it, and as far as the craft of it, too, you know. And it just seemed to work well that way. You know, you got good feedback from other people.
Cool. Okay, so are you trying anything new at the moment, any new techniques?
I'm trying to write in a few different voices now. I'm writing a couple of stories. So one of them is a young adult story, and I haven't really written for that market at all. So that's a little interesting because the dialogue is different. And the other one is an upscale setting. So the protagonist's voice needs to be a little more polished than casual. So I'm not so sure that that's such different techniques, but it's a little bit different for me.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean in terms of having to watch those words to consider whether someone would be using those words specifically.
Yes, exactly. You know, like a 16-year-old kid is going to be saying something differently than a 40-year-old person, no doubt. So that kind of thing. I'm trying to make sure that I'm getting that you know, in the right order, so to speak.
Have you got any 16-year-olds to help you out with your
No. No, I have to go walking more and like when they get out of school, like I'll listen. Cool. I don't know that would actually help though, because the language is not so great.
Yeah, you'll just have to do more eavesdropping.
Right.
So you mentioned right at the start that you're inspired by other crime writers, or writers in general. So what writers inspire you?
Well, when I was younger, I wanted to be a spy.
Oh.
So I read all the Ian Fleming and John le Carré and Helen McGinnis and all of those people, and I really loved those books. So I guess I always have them a little bit in the back of my mind when I'm writing, that they were very good thrillers and spy stories. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, I also admire Sue Grafton. I think that her Kinsey Malone is an amazing character. She's had her in 25 books, and she kept her fresh and in character. And that's something to aspire to, you know, to be able to do something like that. And I'm also inspired by Alison Galen, who I mentioned before, and Megan Abbott. Alison and Megan are both writing the kinds of stories that are very socially oriented, social media oriented, I guess I should say. And they really have it. They've gotten that perfectly. Allison's new book is If I Die Tonight, and it's about two young men, one is accused of murder and one who was murdered. And it just gets into all that thing that the kids do with people do with the texting and the blaming and all of that. So you really get that from her. It's very good. And she's also a very good teacher. And I also love Katrina McPherson. She's a Scottish writer who lives in the United States now. And her stories take you like to the dark side. And you don't even realize that you're going there until you're right in the middle of it. So it's really interesting. It's very good.
Yeah, I read one of her books. I can't remember whether it was this year or last year. And unfortunately, the name escapes me. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah, she's got a new one out right now too. Go to My Grave, it's called. It just came out a few days ago.
Okay.
It's very good as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting what you were talking about in terms of social change and social media and all of that. It's one of the things about being a crime writer, isn't it? Depending on which kind of subgenre you're into, you have to keep up to date and things like whether it's police procedure,
yes,
or forensics or just societal stuff. You know, right. When I go back and read like Agatha Christie or something, it's just like, oh, it's so easy then. There's not all this technology in the way to point out who the murderer is very quickly.
Even Sue Grafton books, they're all before computers and cell phones, and you know, her characters have to look things up in the phone book or go someplace to find out information, whereas we have to hit a few keys. So it's different.
But I was thinking, I was reading something last night, and I was a Camilla Lackberg book, and I was just thinking, though, it's, you know, the key to the mystery is really about lies. And, you know, despite all the technology, social media, et cetera, it's still, lies are just as prevalent as they always were, and they're always going to be part of that mystery.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. You still have to have a good story.
But, yeah. So tell us a little bit about Bar None. So what inspired it?
Well, as I said before, the idea of my husband had been in the restaurant business, and I kind of was around that for, a lot of years. And I decided to write a book about it, basically. But I wanted to set it in a different neighborhood than my own. So my protagonist is Jude Delane. She owns the Corner Lounge on 10th Street and Avenue B. And she's had a rough life before this, but she's kind of making do. She does a favor for her good friend and her landlord, Thomas Sully Sullivan, and lets his co-worker into his apartment to wait for him, a man named Ed Molina. And when she goes up to check on him, she finds him dead in a in a pool of blood, and she's not convinced, as the police are, that it was suicide, which leads her and Sully into having her go undercover where they were, where Ed and Sully were working at the big city food bank, and she uncovers a case of major fraud, and as she goes through all the list of possible suspects, she finds that the killer's got her in his sights, and her murder could be on the menu as well. So I just kind of combined a lot of things about the restaurant business and the bar business, and then, of course, they added that story of, you know, the fraud. And the character lives in Manhattan and lives next to her bar, but she grew up in the Bronx, and some of the, as did I, and some of the action takes place there. That's where the food bank is. And she did not want to go back to the Bronx ever. So it's also a little bit of that going on in the story, too, that there's this kind of pull to keep her from not going, but then she really feels like it's something she needs to do.
And were you trying anything different with this book?
Well, a little bit different. The first series, as you mentioned at the beginning, with Helen McCorkindale and Laurel Imperioli, were as a series of three books, and in each one they alternate points of view in each chapter, so it's from the different points of view. Mm-hmm. And my blackjack player, Nick Donahue, he goes all over the world. He's an international player, and he gets in trouble everywhere he goes with all kinds of people, and all kinds of things happen to him. This book, really, I kept it all in one setting, which is unusual for me. I like to usually change it around. And it's just really all in New York, and it's all Jude. She's carrying the whole story. So that's a little bit different for me. I don't know that it's super different, but a little bit. And it's first person. So Laurel and Helen books were third person. And the Nick Donahue books was first person as well. And this is first person too.
Good. Okay. So I might wrap up now and let you get back to, well, you said you just submitted your number two book, so you're probably having a little bit of a breather. But you said you were working on a couple of short stories. So is that what you're working on right now?
I was working on that earlier today, one of them. It's called That's My Story and I'm Sticking to It. And I have the other one put aside for a little bit. I'll work on that when I finish that one. And also, as I said, I also just turned in the sequel to Barnum, which is called Last Call. And that's about a serial killer operating in Jude's neighborhood on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So I'm hoping that that will be, you know, won't have too many edits to do. And actually, that was inspired by a true story that involved a tourist from Denmark who disappeared in Times Square on New Year's Eve many years ago and then was found murdered. Mm. So I kind of started with that, which again gets me back to like having sort of real life situations and things that are going on around us.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got a great backdrop right outside your front door.
Yes. Lots of cars and noise.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time today. So if people want to find out more about you and your work, where's the best place to find you online?
They can find me at my website, www.kathystoller.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, just with my name, Kathy Stoller Author or at Kathy Stoller. And my books are online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they're in bookstores as well. So that's where they can find me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time today, Kathy.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks for listening to Right Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinedst.com or madeline_dst on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinedst.com under the Right Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?